How to get people back to work? I don't know. Pay them more? From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishour, in for David Brancaccio. Some retailers are throwing in a new benefit to attract and retain people. Free college. Amazon is offering free tuition for frontline workers. Target and Walmart recently announced similar programs. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab looks at the math behind these offers.
Free tuition programs are often about the numbers. Rachel Carlson is the CEO of Guild Education, which manages education benefits for companies like Chipotle and Lowe's. She says companies that offer these programs have doubled the retention rate.
That means it's more affordable to educate Maria or Susan than to replace Maria or Susan.
She says the average worker who enrolls in education assistance is about 32, a woman of color, and often a mom. Oded Garance, who teaches the economics of education at the University of Missouri, says company-sponsored tuition takes away some of the risks for workers.
The more that we create an option value for college, where people can kind of option in and try it out, and to the extent that it could actually let them earn a college degree, it could be really beneficial.
He says could because there are hurdles. Some companies reimburse tuition, so workers front the cost. Others require them to pass courses.
They might sign up for a course, and it might be difficult for them to complete it and be successful.
Which means instead of a certificate or a degree, they could be left with debt. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
Many equity analysts at Wall Street firms have been warning their clients about risks to the stock market that are bubbling up. Some saying we might see some pullback these next few months on high-flying stocks and major indices like the S&P. Already, 90% of the Russell 2000, that's small and medium-sized companies, have seen 10% drops. Julia Coronado is founder and president of Macro Policy Perspectives and joins us. Hi, Julia.
Good morning.
We've got a lot of analysts warning about risks in U.S. equities. Why?
Well, there's a menu of risks for us now after a period where fiscal stimulus lifted all boats, profits higher, wages higher, spending higher. We're now looking at a future where fiscal stimulus may or may not pass. It'll be less than it was before. Plus, you've got rising supply chain pressures leading companies to either raise prices or accept tighter profit margins. And then you've got the Delta variant, which is just casting a shadow over the entire global economy. That's adding to the supply chain frictions, actually, as we see factories shutting down in Asia and continued issues with shipping tied to the pandemic that just doesn't go away.
All right. Julia Coronado, founder and president of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Nearly half the world's video game players are now women and girls, and it's a number that's growing. But while there are plenty of successful women gaming influencers and personalities, few are making it in esports, that's the competitive side of video games. Research shared exclusively with the BBC finds no female players in the top 300 earners. They're also only taking home a tiny fraction of the millions being won in competitions around the world. The BBC's Joe Tidy has more.
The all-female team Cloud9 White are dominating all other women's teams in the game Valorant, but they're fighting hard to break more records and beat the men too. Here's the captain of the five-woman team, Mel Capone.
It can be like a 10 to 14-hour job daily.
The team are encouraging all competitive female gamers to challenge the status quo, that women can't make it at the sharp end of gaming. New research from esportsearnings.com, shared exclusively with the BBC, puts stark numbers on the issue. You have to go all the way down to 338th to play a Scarlet to find a female. It's not like women aren't playing. Research suggests that nearly half of all gamers are now female, with growth in many countries, particularly in Asia. 23-year-old Malaysian Betty Chai is a semi-professional Dota 2 player.
I'm earning just a bit, but I've taken like a few projects from streaming partners. That's how I managed to survive, I guess.
Dota 2 has the most lucrative esports scene going. It's gearing up for a $40 million tournament. Once again, there will be no female finalists this year.
For the grand finals here.
Betty thinks that one of the reasons there are so few successful female esports stars is because of the immature culture in grassroots gaming.
Most games, it goes two ways. They will say, oh my god, I love you, this kind of stuff. Like, they never seen a girl in their life. Sometimes it's like a toxic one. They'll be like, oh, woman, go back to the kitchen.
Some people think the only way to get women onto the biggest stages is to split esports into male and female competitions entirely. But not everyone agrees.
What's the point if you're only playing against like a very small section of the Valorant as a whole?
Spray, spray, spray.
Cloud9 White think that one solution could be to encourage gaming organizations to fully back more women's teams with the same support given to their male rivals. Here's the captain again.
It's like similar to when the 4-minute mile got broken, when no one had done it before, and then one person does it. And then following that, it's like dozens more people just the next year are suddenly able to do it.
2021 might not be the year for a major breakthrough, but many hope that esports will soon begin to see the potential in its huge, untapped female talent pool. I'm the BBC's Joe Tidy for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.